You read the Bible, Rick.
Talking to me?
Come along, Samwise. Keep up.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, there's past.
So what you want?
Jesus freak.
I got a bad feeling about this.
King Kong ain't got shit on me!
Do I really look like a guy with a plan?
Each and every man under my command owes me 100 natural scouts.
Stuntsy pitches, ain't you?
Oh, wow. Thank you for that.
Hello, and welcome to the Film and Loathing Podcast for Wednesday, April 21st, 2021. This is episode number 103, and I'm Jake.
I'm Case.
I'm Zach.
Coming up this week, we dodge danger with our review of Danger Diabolic. We'll also talk about some other things that we watched and whatever else comes up along the way. So, as always, thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. Happy to have you with us. How you guys doing?
How long did you have that planned? Like, did you think that up at like 2 this afternoon and go like, I can't wait?
I decided
he thought it up before he even said to review that. That's why he chose to review it.
Exactly. I was like, what could fit this? Yeah, that's my thing now. I'm gonna come up with a little thing for every movie that we do.
You're gonna be a wicked punny guy, huh?
That's gonna be my thing.
Well, here's a task for you. Retrofit 102 episodes worth so that we can just insert it into the beginning.
Do you know what I would have, if I was thinking about today, do you know what I would have done if I had been doing this for Kong versus Godzilla? I think I would have said, coming up this week, reviews clash as we discuss Kong versus Godzilla.
And that was off the cuff. Like, or did you have that one planned too?
I thought about that one.
You know what I would have said? Today we review the shittiest movie of the year.
Wow.
Well, Zach, that's why I'm the host, and you're the cynic.
Oh, well, not for long, not until we started a video podcast, and you're out of here.
Fine. Have fun.
I'm going to try and find one, and you got to come up with one off the cuff if you can.
Off the cuff? Ooh, okay, this is pressure.
Off the cuff. I got to see about
Mulholland Drive.
Mulholland Drive? Okay, hold on, let me second.
Just pick him like a movie that he's gonna barely remember.
No, this one I have in mind is the one that he is gonna completely forget.
Okay. Mowgli? Which one's yours, Chris? I'm gonna think about Mulholland Drive. What's yours?
Hold on, I gotta find this one. 1 second. I can't fucking see it. Where? Shit. Hold on. Do a different one while I... Oh, extremely wicked, shockingly evil, and vile.
Oh my god. Okay.
The worst movie title of all time.
That's a tough one.
I don't think I'm good on... Ted Bundy, if that helps you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I'm very good at. I'm not the greatest improv person. They're not off the cuff is harder.
Don't get Why, cuddly do with one? This teddy bear. And extremely wicked, extremely vile, and fucking bullshit.
That's the problem. I also forgot the title, so I don't think I could have sent the title back to you. What is it? Wickedly evil, extremely vile, and ugly?
Extremely wicked, shockingly evil, and vile.
Extremely loud, incredibly vile. Gotcha.
When did we even review that?
A while ago.
We reviewed that though, right?
A year ago? I didn't
just imagine that.
Oh, it was the a paired episode with One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest for some reason.
Yeah, of course. Those go together.
One of the best movies of all time with one of the worst movies of all time. It makes sense.
Yeah, even we want to balance.
Stupid things. Forget about half of these.
I don't remember doing High Life. I don't remember doing The Man Who Killed Don Quixote. Quixote.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't even remember what Little Monsters is.
Oh, here that's we go.
That's the zombie one with Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah, that was boring. Okay, yeah. Here's my Mulholland Drive. This is kind of off the cuff. If I had a little more time to think about it, it could be a little bit better. But maybe I'd say something like, coming up this week, we chase our dreams with Mulholland Drive.
Okay, okay.
It's not very good. Bad. It's not very good, but, you know, for only a couple minute prep time.
That's not bad. Gosh, I'm looking back at all of our episodes, and we've had some real stinkers, guys. Child's Play, the 2019 version.
Bird Box.
I don't remember anything about that movie.
I remember Mark Hamill, whatever. He did the voice of Chucky. That's it.
Do you guys remember Bird Box?
I paired that with something.
Was it Bandersnatch?
Bandersnatch, yes. The interactive movie.
I don't remember about what.
This would be my lead-in for Bandersnatch. Coming up this week, we try not to kill ourselves with our review of Bandersnatch.
My freaking gosh. Natural Born Killers? Oh, that was your Hall of Fame one.
Yeah.
That's a turd right there.
Yeah. Dolomite. Doctor Sleep.
I was thinking about...
Now that I think about it, most of Jacob's Hall of Fame picks have been turd, so let's see if today's falls in its footsteps.
Do you know how I pick my movies? I just think, like, there's a movie I've been wanting to watch for a while. I need a reason to watch it. Oh, perfect. Hall of Fame review.
Synecdoche, New York.
That was a huge turd.
Had been wanting to watch it for a while.
I'm surprised you're picking movies that you've never seen.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I need excuses to watch them. So I'm like, okay, fuck it. You guys can watch it too. And we'll talk about it and see how it turned out.
I can't wait till I put Jason X up for the Hall of Fame.
I mean, like, if I wanted to, I guess Jason. I could. I just like the challenge, you know what I mean? I've never seen it, so it's like a gamble. Instead of, like, Zach, he just plays these safe ones, and he knows they're going to get in.
What has Zach done? Safe?
Yeah.
What has Zach done?
He's done the American movie. I know that one.
He did Halloween. And he's That's got American
Everything that you look at.
American would... movie. The Blair Witch Project. The Prestige. Eyes Wide Shut. Although, okay, that one didn't get in. That one... But, I mean, it wasn't a turd.
That's pretty close.
What have I done?
You have done Gangs in New York.
I've got a stellar record.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Mm-hmm.
Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Easy Rider. And The Truman Show.
All I'm saying is that... even if you guys consider Gangs in New York and whatever, Benjamin Button to be really bad Hall of Fame choices, I still don't have the worst choice.
What's the worst choice?
Natural Born Killers.
That was the worst choice?
That's the worst choice.
New York is worse than Natural Born Killers.
I would say The Curious Case of Benjamin Button is the worst.
I'd rather watch that again.
You're fucked. My last three have not gotten in, but that's okay because I'm taking risks.
Living life on the edge, huh?
Yeah. Plus, like I said, I'm also picking a movie that I haven't seen. Like, I've never seen and needed an excuse to watch, so I just say Hall of Fame review, and then I watch it. Life goes on.
We paired so Marriage Story.
Danger Diabolic?
What's up?
Had you seen Danger Diabolic?
Nope.
We paired Marriage Story with Knives Out.
Yeah, obviously.
I just don't understand our rationale behind pairing those movies.
They don't have to, like, go together. They just have to come out around the same time.
I mean, yeah, both... no, I get it. I'm just saying, like, I don't understand.
Well, both why... Chris are pretty on the edge, so.
My gosh. And we did Tiger King. Fucking Tiger King.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. But enough foreplay. I'm ready to talk Danger Diabolic.
Let's do it.
Okay, so Danger Diabolik was released. What an ass.
That was a good Danger 2 seconds. Danger Diabolik
was released in 1968. It was directed by Mario Bava and stars John Philip Law, Marissa Mell. And the plot synopsis is international man of mystery Diabolik and his sensual lover, Eva Kant, pull off heist after heist. All while European cops led by Inspector Jinko and envious mobsters led by Ralph Valmont are closing in on them. So what did you guys think of Danger Diabolik? So I guess it was my pick. So I'll say I've been watching a ton of heist movies lately. And had always heard that this movie was a lot of fun, kind of was like a, you know, cheesy James Bond ripped off. So I was been curious. So sticking with the themes of heist movies, here we are, Danger Diabolik.
James Bond doesn't steal things.
What's up?
So James Bond doesn't steal things.
He steals the audience's heart.
He steals the guy's besides girlfriends. That. He steals girlfriends.
He does steal girlfriends.
Wait.
They're consenting majority of the time, right? So, like, is he really stealing?
He's stealing.
All right.
What that implies that they are property, Jacob. I don't really like that insinuation.
I think I would say it's stealing because they don't intend to leave, and then James Bond comes around, and they're just like, "Whew."
Yeah, because he's James Bond.
Swept like, away, stolen away.
Okay, but I don't think Rachel wakes up in the morning like expecting to leave you. But if, who's someone that Rachel really loves, like James Vanderbeek?
Yeah, who's that?
So if she, if Justin Timberlake like showed up at her door and was like,
"Why James Vanderbeek?"
Scott Bakula.
If Scott Bakula, if Ralph Macchio showed up at her door.
Like, if James Vanderbeek, Hollywood's biggest forehead, showed up at your door. Oh gosh!
I don't know what Rachel's into. Maybe she likes James Vanderbeek. I don't know.
Does she? Like, can you confirm this, Jake?
Yeah, I'm going to look him up real quick. Vanderbeek.
Oh my gosh. Wasn't he in, like, Dawson's Creek or some shit?
He is Dawson from Dawson's Creek.
Oh, that's right. He was in Varsity Blues, the movie, before the TV show.
Oh, this guy has a hunk.
Like, you see why I said Hollywood's biggest forehead?
Yeah, I know who this guy is. Oh my god, it's a picture of James Vanderbeek and Scott Bakula. Oh my god, that's amazing.
Whoa, crazy. Google Images, James Vanderbeek and Rachel in one photo? She is a fan.
Anywho, what is this all stemming from?
If James Bond actually steals these guys' girlfriends.
Oh, yeah, he does. Moving on, I really enjoyed Danger Diabolik quite a bit. And as I was telling Zach this morning via text message, I think mostly why I love it is simply because it doesn't take itself very seriously at all, and it sort of establishes its own rules and kind of lays out this ridiculous world that it's set in and is just willing to have fun and nothing is off limits. And I really like when you sort of have a movie like that, anything can happen.
Chris?
I didn't not like the movie. I didn't. Weird way of explaining this. I don't know if I really like this movie or if I really hate this movie.
That's fair.
Okay.
Like, I love the cheesiness. I love the, like, over-the-top nature of all the heists. I love the creativity and how they get there. I love the, like, them driving in the car with the green screen behind them as it's, like, showing a road behind them. I love that. I like the effects of, like the quick zoom in of the camera and the quick zoom out and, like, all of these stupid little things. But.
Oh, yeah. Big butt coming.
At the same time, those things are. It just. I don't know. I feel like I've seen people make fun of those things in, like, parodies or in, like, spoofs so much where I have a hard time disassociating it with that. Like, I have a hard time viewing this movie as this is where the spoof and the parody is originating from.
Yeah, but can't you enjoy it on that level? Like, this is, like, the OG. This is where it's coming from.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that, like, I really like it in that regard, but at the same time, it's hard for me to watch this and not think of, like, them doing a bit like this in Family Guy. Like, it's hard for me to look at this as its own entity because I look at the joke itself as something that is a parody.
I think when this movie first came out, like, I think it was intended to be, like, not like a parody per se, but, like, sort of playing with a lot of tropes and cliches of heist thrillers and spy movies and superhero movies, like playing with those tropes and like having fun with it.
It's enjoyable. And I like what they're stealing every time. Like it starts off with like the $10 million and then it works its way into like the 11 emeralds. And I thought like him taking the emeralds and shooting it into that guy's body was the most ridiculous thing
now, let me ask you this, Chris.
Ever seen.
If you had $10 million, is that what you would do with it?
Well, it depends. Is it March 2021?
You guys don't know what you're talking about. I'm just saying. I know. I know what I'm talking about.
I love the music to it. I love the James Bond sort of opening where it was just like kind of reminded me of just like one of those little windmill toys. You know what I'm talking about? That like children have. It's like a little windmill. It just blows around. A pinwheel. Thank you. It almost kind of reminded me of that. And like I love the music playing over it.
Yeah. I like the music too.
Like a lot of the costume. I love a lot of the costuming. Like Diabolik's outfit is ridiculous.
I think it looks terrible.
His costume?
Yeah.
It looks very impractical.
Exactly. It just sort of seems like an impractical, like, superhero's costume or something. Zach, tell us your thoughts.
I guess I'm in a similar boat as Chris. I definitely don't like it as much as you do, but there's lots of things that I appreciate about it. I think my main issue boils down to John Philip Law. I think he's terrible. Like I absolutely hate him.
Is he
He's Diabolik.
He's Diabolik, yeah.
I don't think he has the charisma or the chops for this role. And I don't think he has any chemistry with Marissa Meltz, who plays Eva.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can kind of see that.
Like, there's a lot of open mouth making out in the first 20 minutes.
Gosh, dude. Like, the first, it was a 2-minute sequence of them, like,
yeah,
going at it.
It's so awkward to watch. Cause it's like, you can't be enjoying that. That's just he's so weird.
But she was definitely enjoying it when their massive bed was covered in fake 50s.
Okay.
It's very practical too to have $10 million in 50s and $20 bills.
And just to spread it out like that. Did anybody think of COVID problems on that, watching that scene, all the money on the bed?
I thought about like how long it was going to take to clean it up.
I couldn't help but think, how many asses have those bills been in?
Yeah. I was just thinking, there's... like... Yeah, I was
maybe they were printed the day before.
Yeah, but see, but that don't get me started. Don't get me started nice on the print dates.
So realistically, they're clean.
We don't know who printed them.
I mean, they're coming from a bank vault. They're probably pretty clean.
Yeah, I assume so.
I think one of the most ridiculous sort of plot turning points is when Diabolik gets his revenge and just blows up a tax buildings.
That I guess that is another thing. Like, plot-wise, it just, like, when they're sitting there and, you know, she says that she wants, like, those emeralds, like, for her birthday. I thought that would be, like the big climactic thing would be, does he get them or does he not? But then, like, he gets them, and he gets away, and there's, still, like, 50 minutes of the movie left, where it just kind of, like, keeps going, and then it keeps going, and then it keeps going.
I mean, but kind of in a way, it is about the emeralds.
Sure. But I you're saying that this as being like a heist movie, I kind of wish that it was more centered on like the one heist.
Like an Oceans type of thing.
Like the plot of the movie is him trying to get the emeralds.
Like the gold thing more. Like, I found that to be more fascinating than the emeralds.
At that point, we had already seen, like, three different heists.
Yeah. I mean, I was... Because, like, once he got 40 minutes in, I wasn't convinced that he was coming back. Just because, you know... I don't know. I wasn't convinced. But then when he did, I was like, okay, this makes 100% total sense. I see where this movie's going now.
Yeah, the gold is definitely pretty sweet. Only because I love the way that they have to get the gold out of that tankard.
Yeah.
Like, to, like, melt it and then spray it out and then, like, reform it. That was pretty cool.
Which, by the way, very, very poor way of spraying that gold into those canisters. That was awful. He just took it and was just, like, whoosh everywhere. Like, how much gold are you wasting on the ground, man?
When you're that rich, the guy, he doesn't give a shit.
I guess not.
I gotta say, my favorite scene is when that guy calls a press conference, and then Diabolik shows up and gives everyone laughing gas, but him and Eva take in laughable pills so they don't laugh. That's my favorite part.
Yeah, just like the ridiculousness of it, and like anything that can happen, just because there's no limits, there's no restrictions.
The one horrible shot I do have to say, and was when they were taking the picture and the smoke went up, and literally how they got the smoke into the room was they just showed the smoke rising from in reverse and it going up through their faces. Like, that was one of the most blatantly horrible shots I've ever seen in any movie.
I mean, Chris, they made this movie for $400,000. It's pretty impressive.
$400,000 and when? Like 1968? How much is that now?
Yeah.
Even still, like, there's such luxurious set design in this movie. It's kind of hard to believe that they made it for $400,000. Like, his lair is amazing. He has like 100 replicas of the same car.
That's over $3 million.
He parks in a garage of the same car over and over again.
Yeah, $3 million for a movie today is nothing.
Is it?
Dude, you couldn't even make Manchester by the Sea for $3 million.
I bet you could.
No.
I bet you could have. Maybe not with Casey Affleck, but I bet you could make it.
You think Casey Affleck's a big drain in your budget?
I mean, by comparison to other people, yeah. He's a notable name. Like, people know who Casey Affleck is. He's been on SNL.
They should have made it with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Should have made it with James Vanderbeek.
Yeah, exactly.
Rock Macchio in Manchester by the Sea.
I would watch the shit out of that.
Yeah, I am kind of curious about, like, like what they were inspired by like from other things around that time. I know Barbarella was, like, that was something I'd watched a couple months ago. Like, I know that was, I think they had used a lot of the similar like sets and costumes.
Well, Diabolik is an Italian comic.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so most of the storyline comes from that.
Oh, I didn't even know that. That's cool.
I guess there's like some frame-by-frame things that are like almost exactly the same.
Oh, really? That's cool. So Diabolik was just like this... It was like a comic book?
Yeah.
Like it had like a running series to it?
I guess.
I bet those would be kind of fun to get your hands on.
If you can read Italian, sure.
I was about to say there.
Hey, there's more to just reading the words. Like, I would love to just see like the panels, like just what this comic looks like.
Ciao,
some Bene. Of the act, some tortellini. Of the action stuff.
tortellini.
I want to make a movie where that's the entire script. Tortellini, penne, pesto, Parmesan cheese. Or Parmigiano.
What's his name in Master of Disguise?
Oh, Pistachio.
Yep.
Pistachio Disguise. That's my next Hall of Fame review.
That's it.
I forgot that in my top 100. Shit.
Am I going too fast for you?
I just love his Al Pacino. Are you kidding me? That was great. And get that stick stuck in my esophagus. No chance.
Crab kicks. With your tattoo, they should be called crab kicks.
You got a low winner and some tiny nuts.
Are you choking or you're not choking? I gotta know.
That's my next Hall of Fame review. I'm locking it in right here, right now. I did like this one though. I liked the sets. I liked the locations that they chose. The costuming wasn't awful. I liked the blatant peace, love, world peace type of vibe that they had going on.
Oh, I was going to share. I think my favorite scene is when he needs to create a diversion to escape from the castle, so he launches his dummy body off the catapult.
Yep.
No, amazing. The best part is the line of dialogue that follows. The guy that runs in and just like is shooting randomly, he's like, I got him! I know I got him!
Yeah, that's true. It's like, how could you know that, bud?
He just is shooting randomly. I know I got him.
And then there was the part where the gold goes down to the bottom of the what looks to be a lake or something or an ocean or whatever. And then he's just like, just in case, I added radiation to the gold, just in case.
Just in case.
I like that he fakes death and will only work for 12 hours, and then he wakes up at 11 hours and 57 minutes.
Yeah.
Not a lot of time passed between these heists. I mean, he was pulling these things, almost, and it seems to be a popular phrase with me tonight, but off the cuff.
Yeah, he's addicted. He's addicted to the thrill.
All I'm saying is that this guy brought down an entire country's tax system in a matter of like 12 hours. Like, it took almost zero effort for him to do this.
My actual favorite thing about the character of Diabolik is that he steals from bad people, but not in a Robin Hood type of way, where he's going to give to the less fortunate. He's just going to keep it for himself. You're a crazy guy.
Yeah, how do you think like he was able to build the underground bunker? Like, you can't have anybody knowing where you are. Like.
We obviously with stolen money.
No, no, I mean, like, do you think he killed the architects? Just or then the builders and the designers?
I don't know if he could kill anyone. Like, he doesn't carry a gun.
Because, I mean, there's public records of that stuff. Those cops should be able to easily find them.
I mean, there might be blueprints, but they don't know the address. He doesn't even have an address. It's just some random rock that opens up.
Yeah, that guy's not getting any mail.
How does he pay his life insurance?
It was pretty insane that... Because they're assumedly dating, right? In some way, they're lovers.
Who?
Ava and Diabolik.
I would assume so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it was funny to me that they would, like, do all this passionate, like, making out, fucking on top of money. But they shower separately. That was interesting.
They're not animals. Sometimes you need some alone time.
Maybe.
They have their own individual showers.
He's wanking one off in that shower.
That was the coolest thing, dude. I want my own shower when I'm...
Oh, he's jerking off so that he lasts longer.
Mm-hmm. He's a giver.
It's like their big circular bed.
Their rotating bed?
That was pretty cool.
Imagine sleeping on that at night, though.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Do you think it would be comfortable? Like, do you think you get dizzy?
Getting the spins? Getting drunk sure and then getting the spins the and then getting on a bed that in itself is spinning. Like, that would be awful.
Or even, like, even just being sober, like going to bed and you've been spinning for 8 hours and you wake up.
I guess it depends on, like, what setting
you have it on. If you have it on just, like, easygoing mode, then I bet you'd be fine. But if you twisted it up to, like, you know, rock this shit, and then it would spin, like, 3 times every second.
We're putting it on paint mixer.
Like the tilt-a-whirl at the fair.
Cyclone. We're putting it on cyclone mode right now. You know what they say, she moves her body like a cyclone.
That's what they got it from. Yeah, makes you want
to do it all night long.
That's what Baby Bash says.
Mm-hmm.
So, Zach, I watched the Beastie Boys video that spoofs Danger Diabolik.
Yep.
So, did you watch it?
Yeah.
Chris, did you watch it?
Or, I didn't even know about that. Was a thing.
Yeah, their song.
We're going to have the Shout Factory Blu-ray.
Yeah, so you can watch it on YouTube. It's for their song Body Movin'. And they recreate a lot of, like, scenes from Danger Diabolik.
I bet that's hilarious.
But he breaks into the safe, but instead of stealing like an emerald necklace, it's a fondue recipe.
Why?
And there's like pretty great scene. There's like a pretty great unchoreographed, unskilled sword fight, and the bad guy gets his head cut off, and then later on, he just has a neck brace. But so he has his head back on, but he's just wearing a neck brace.
See, this movie is so ridiculous where I could see that being in this movie.
Yeah, right? Something like... Don't say like a Monty Python sketch.
Yeah.
I want to see Monty Python do a Danger Diabolik type spoof.
That'd be incredible.
But no, yeah, I really enjoyed Danger Diabolik as I thought I would. It was perfect, you know? I was just hanging out on a Sunday afternoon. Rachel was wrapping some stones. I was watching Danger Diabolik.
What? Wrapping stones?
Yeah.
Like in cheesecloth?
Gifts?
Like what?
Like gifts?
No, like to make jewelry out of it? Wire wrapping?
I was thinking the Rolling Stones.
You were thinking stones that wrapped.
I was thinking...
Mick Jagger?
I was thinking, she gets stones tickets? In a pandemic? Crazy, dude.
Well, we're both vaccinated, bro.
She makes jewelry?
Yeah. Little pendants and stuff? Little necklaces?
What kind of
She's just hoping she meets someone that does, so that all this wire wrapping doesn't go to waste.
Got a question. Not for me, but for a friend. Does she do cock rings?
For the right price.
Again, not for me, for a friend.
For the right price.
Oh, man, he just texted me.
Oh, man.
Well, anything else to say, guys, about Danger Diabolic here?
Nothing that comes to mind.
I'm good.
All right, what are you going to give it?
Five stars. Okay, never mind. I got one more thing.
Oh, drop it.
The gang member, or like the head of the gang member's airplane scene, incredible. He has a hatch in the middle of his private airplane that he could just drop people in. And then his girlfriend or whatever comes in and goes, "Oh man, fresh breeze. This is so nice." That was incredible.
Yeah, that was pretty ridiculous.
It reminded me a lot of Scarface, where he's like, "All right, don't shoot. I changed my mind." Since he said, "Please, I'm not going to shoot you," and then he just opens the hatch and pushes them out.
Maybe this was the inspiration for Scarface.
I don't think so.
I think
I like to think you could
gangster
be.
Film Scarface was an influence on Scarface.
Yeah, but like. Danger Diabolic, though.
Without Danger Diabolic, you don't get the flair.
Mm-mm. I'm not saying the story. I'm talking the panache. Tony Montana's badassery.
All right. We're going to give Danger Diabolic.
4.
I'll go 4.5.
I'm going to go 5. And... putting it to a vote. It's a yes for me.
Sure.
I'll go sure, yeah.
Yes.
We'll vote it in. It was charming. I feel
bad for you, dude. Your other movies that you pick kind of suck.
Hey, I'll take pity. I don't care.
I thought it was charming.
Yeah. I think Chris is charming. That's why we invited him on the podcast.
Aww.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on. Did you guys watch anything else this week?
I watched a documentary called Dawnland.
What's that? I've never heard of it.
It's about the Wabanaki tribe, or well, not tribe. They're not a tribe. They're like Penobscot, Passamaquoddy, Maliseet, and Mi'kmaq, and like during the 1970s until 2012, there was like an epidemic where they had like the state was taking their children away because they were saying that they were like unfit to be parents for a lot of these women, but a lot of it was unjustly. So they did some sort of like intervention for like some third party organization or third party council that had like members of the government in it, and or wasn't third party, it was by the government. But this government, along with a couple people who were part of the Wabanaki people, got together and they were doing like an after effect view of like how this affected the community, and they were going to file a report on it. So it was about like the making of that report and the statistics that went into this tragedy.
Where'd you watch this on?
It was on the UMaine website.
Oh, interesting. Who produced? Like, was it UMaine produced?
No. I can't remember who did it, but they had it on the UMaine like databases, so I just kind of watched it.
Did you have to watch it for a class, or are you just curious?
I had to watch it for a class, but I was looking forward to it when I read it on the syllabus.
Huh.
It was good. It was good. I mean, it was hard to watch because like.
The subject matter.
Yeah, I mean, the subject matter, people being torn away from their, like, parents. And it wasn't, like, just this was just a story. This was, like, real firsthand interview accounts of, like, this happening to them. And then people of this happening to the mothers, this happening to the brothers, the sisters, whoever.
What's Very it rough. Called again?
It's called Dawnland. It's only 50. It's not that long. Like, it's not long at all.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. Interesting. Directed by Ben Penderkudeep.
Whoever that is. And
Adam Matzo. Big Pen Ben Pender Cudlip. This is directorial debut.
Good for him.
Nice. I rewatched a classic, and I think after watching it, I think I almost regret not putting it in my top 100. And that's Roland Emmerich's The Day After Tomorrow.
This is a classic.
Starring Dennis Quaid.
Starring Dennis Quaid, Jake Gyllenhaal, the girl from Shameless.
The girl from Shameless?
Yeah.
Who?
That's the girl that Jake Gyllenhaal likes.
Mia Rossum?
Yeah, sure. Her.
Dude, no one gives enough credit to that homeless guy with the dog.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. There's just, like, from start to finish, just, like, I think there's some pretty good action. Honestly. Like, I think the score is, like, pretty good. I think it complements it pretty well. Like, it's got a really good pace to it. Like, almost every other scene is, like, some sort of, like, kind of cool little disaster thing with some good effects. It's like, you know, a little bit of a plot to push it along, some action. A little bit of plot to push it along, some action. Some action that benefits the plot, some more action. You know what I mean? It's just very well paced. I don't know.
I like when Dennis Quaid busts through the roof of the mall.
I think the owner throws the guy down to the Wendy's. I think the only thing that, like, is super odd about it, and it's, like, kind of out of nowhere, is the scene where they go onto the ship to get the penicillin. There's the wolves. Like, the terrible CG wolves. Like, it's just such a random thing to add in. That's the only thing that I'm...
I think the worst part is when they're switching rooms in the library, like, the cold is literally chasing them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, her getting blood poisoning, have to go get medicine. Like, okay, I'm fine with that. But then to, like, literally to put wolves in, I don't know. Could have been something. But hey, he's the disaster master. I'm not going to question him.
I remember being afraid to watch this movie.
Really?
I remember thinking that if I watched this movie, it would somehow trigger the events to happen in real life and that we would all die.
Dude, I felt the same way with, like, when 2012 came out.
That's what I felt about World of Worlds.
That's the scary thing. Reopening
it is opening a can of worms.
This movie, like, these types of movie are what made me absolutely petrified of tsunamis. Because, like, realistically, you're not going to see a tsunami that's like a 200-foot wave above your head, but that's some scary shit.
A tsunami that's as tall as the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah, dude, that's scary. Like, imagine just standing on a beach and watching that come at you.
It is like a pretty, like, crazy image. Like, the streets of New York just being flooded by a tsunami.
There's nothing anybody can do. Get to the top of a skyscraper, I guess, but, like, the infrastructure couldn't support a tsunami.
We also, like, there's only so much room on top of skyscrapers. Like, sorry, Jake, not everyone's going to make it.
You're the civil engineer here. How would that work?
What?
A tsunami hitting New York.
I don't know. It would probably do exactly what it did. Bust out all the windows.
Let me ask you this. If you put enough people on the top of the skyscraper, but they all sit on one size, on one side, would it be heavy enough for the building to start to lean?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
Now let me ask you a follow-up question.
Okay.
Are you an engineer's apprentice, or are you a practicing engineer?
I am an engineer in training and training.
Okay, well then I'll ask you in a few years.
Okay.
No changes.
Ask me in a few years.
I'll ask you when you're a real engineer. Trying to be really hopeful right now.
I think that when you become an actual engineer, there's going to be a document given to you, and it's going to be like all the things you thought were true but are not. And then that's going to be
they just hand you one little slip of paper and you open it up and it's like, ha ha! If you load enough people on the side of a building, it will tip over.
You've been duped.
I'm just saying. Like, if you did it on every single floor,
it's tell like me
it's not going to have any effect.
You only do one question. It's only one question on your exam. You do all the math out to show that it won't happen, and then they hand you a piece of paper that says, ha! You got it wrong. It actually does happen.
What if on top of people standing towards one side, there were also people on the outside of the building pushing from the other side?
Whew, okay, now that I gotta do some quick calculations.
True or this is your engineering exam. True or false? If a bunch of people stand on one side of a skyscraper, it will start to bend.
True or false? Okay, well, so let's see. So if I take the log of 6, multiply that by 74, and I divide that by the tangent of 90. Yeah, Chris, that building's not going to fall over.
You forgot to carry the 1. What happens if you carry the 1?
If I carry the 1, you... that's close.
What if it's not just your average people? Like, you don't have little kids pushing. It's a bunch of Hulk Hogans.
I would say if it's... like, you get all the contestants from The Biggest Loser, and then Hulk Hogan is pushing.
Well, you can't, because Dustin Diamond died.
Oh.
What about the sisters from my 600-pound
life? My 600-pound life? Oh, dude, you don't want to fuck with them. They have an attitude.
I've seen a couple episodes. I agree with you.
I've seen it all.
You've seen it all?
I watched the whole thing.
That's a lot of TV in about 2 overweight women.
Well, that I've are seen just bitchy. The entire series about overweight people.
What?
I've seen. How many every shows do they need of my about 600-pound life?
How many TV shows do they need about fat people?
I mean, as long as people watch them. So you don't think fat people need to be represented in media?
If let their me show is someone strictly named
Lizzo, she would disagree with you.
Representation is fine. Making a show about fat people that's based around them being fat, where that's their identity in the show, that's awful.
Wait, but if you weigh 700 pounds and can't even walk, Chris, I would say that being fat is largely your identity at that point.
I'm just saying, I don't want to watch that TV. I'm not saying that people who have that experience don't have a story to be told. I'm just saying it's not a story that I care about.
It's kind of uplifting. They put themselves to challenges. They overcome adversity.
Like The Amazing Race?
It's kind of like The Amazing Race. But it's just a very smaller distance.
Oh, man. All right.
Okay, it may be shorter, but it's no any less amazing, okay?
Today, you're going to step outside your room. You're going to get out of bed. It's going to be great. It's going to be difficult, but you can do it. As compared to The Amazing Race, today, you're going to try and communicate with 4 people who don't speak your language, eat a grasshopper, get hit in the face with a watermelon from a slingshot, and then drive all the way across town to get to the finish line.
That's a pretty good Amazing Race episode. You just have to try to get directions from people in, like, Chinatown or something.
Yeah, I feel like that's, like, half the show. are them like sitting there with a map, like, I don't know where we are. Let's ask one of the locals. They go to a local, and the local's like, I don't know.
Do they have to solve
clues? I would want to do the Amazing Race with? If I could pick anyone to be my partner,
James Vanderbeek.
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman. Why?
He's charismatic.
Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman is a man of the world. Like, I think he just knows things that other people don't.
That could be true. You might be onto something.
Also, he's a professional athlete, so. Or was a professional athlete.
I feel like he's physically fit. Whatever. It all works out that way. I'm just saying, I feel like there are a lot of different people that would be much more emotionally equipped to handle a stressful situation than Dennis Rodman.
I think I would do
RuPaul. He was on that Bulls team for Phil Jackson. Michael Jordan, very intense individual. I think he has what it takes emotionally.
Well, I'll take your Dennis Rodman. I think I would take RuPaul, honestly.
Why?
That's a crazy...
That's a jump. Why RuPaul?
You think Dennis Rodman's worldly? Brother, you haven't met worldly until you met RuPaul.
Okay, I think you guys are missing the most worldly person possible, Mr. Worldwide. Pitbull.
Oh, Pitbull. Okay. Fair enough. That's actually pretty good.
I know that if I was on the Amazing Race, I would have to have a partner that could carry the load physically because I can't.
So you want a retired, out of shape, drug addicted basketball player?
Formerly drug addicted basketball player, yes. Plus,
he's broke his penis 3 times and come back from them every single time. That's perseverance. He's still fucking today, I bet.
Well, of course he is.
If I broke my dick 3 times, I give up. If I break my dick twice, I give up. I'm done having sex.
I think I would pick Rob Gronkowski just so we could get wasted and party and just say, fuck the Amazing Race.
First episode, though, you're in, you're out. Like, that's what you get when you have Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not true. Did you watch The Masked Singer? He made it to, like, the final 10.
In what?
The Masked Singer?
You're right, because The Masked Singer is comparable to The Amazing Race.
It's kind of the same.
What's The Masked Singer?
The people that sing in disguise, and you have to guess who they are.
Rob Gronkowski did The Masked Singer?
He did, yeah.
Okay, well, I don't care about his singing skills. Singing skills aren't going to help get us from fucking Spain to Paraguay.
You don't know what the clues are going to be. You can't say that.
Is one of the clues that you have to sing something?
It might be musically related.
Yeah, like what if you need to go to like a Japanese karaoke bar?
Are there clues in the Amazing Race?
I think so. I've
never seen it.
You think so?
I think so. I think they get like a clue. It's kind of like a giant scavenger hunt type deal.
It's like the Goblet of Fire.
I think they get given a direction, and they given like this is where you need to get to first. And then from there they get a clue, and then they need to figure out where they got to go.
So I would get a partner that knows which way is north and east.
Instinctively,
you could just learn which way is north before you go.
It's not that easy, Chris.
Right. Only specific people can sense the magnetisms in the earth and figure out which direction is north from there.
If I could pick any competition type reality show to be on, I mean, it would be Hell's Kitchen, but like in reality, it would be Survivor. I think I could win Survivor.
No way you could.
I think
Zach, I really do.
No, Zach, the show that you could win, I think, is Big Brother.
That's more your speed. Big Brother. I don't think you could sleep on the beach and eat fish. Every single day. I think you could stay in a house for months on end.
And just like trash talk and hate people and be competitive. Oh, yeah. I think you could do Big Brother.
You'd be great at Big Brother.
I'd play the mental game so hard.
They're always whispering on that show too. Like, I don't know what it is about Big Brother, but everybody's always talking like this so that nobody else can hear their conversations.
And I love how they always turn the mic way up so it's like, oh my god, I heard Kelsey talking about so-and-so, and I think they're going to try to help me.
Did you hear about Barbara? Barbara said that Kyle was being a piece of shit today, but then she fucked him. It was fucking crazy.
You know what my strategy would be? My strategy would be to get eliminated, and then I would be the one that comes back into the competition later.
Yeah, guys, I just That's wanted a six-week break.
You would get outed, watch all the episodes as they were broadcast. Is it live? Is it, like, week to week? Or do they film the whole thing and then, like, air it?
They have, no, like, a 24-hour stream. No,
it's live because you can watch the 24-hour stream of the cameras.
Okay, so you just get outed, watch the show, so that you would learn all the inside secrets. And
I think if you're eligible to come back, you are not allowed to watch the show.
Oh, makes sense.
Because you go to the juror house.
What's the juror? There's a separate house?
Yes, when there's a juror house.
The juror house decides who wins.
Yeah, they lose, and then they go to the second house, and they live there.
Why isn't there a show or a live stream of just the juror's house?
There might be.
There very well could be.
Like, there should be two shows running at the same time at different time slots. One's called The Juror's House and one's called Big Brother.
You guys are making me miss all the Big Brother seasons that I watched. I used to love that show.
Yeah, Zach, I remember one summer in college we watched a whole season of Big Brother. And right.
It's a great show.
We watched it's a phenomenal premise.
My brother's girlfriend, or my wife now, my brother's wife is super into that show, and she's like still on it every single season. But when she lived with us for a year, we all would sit on the couch as soon as Big Brother would come on, and we'd just watch it.
The only one I ever saw was...
Because it's on three times a week. Like, yeah. You have to constantly, like, keeping up with it.
I only watched the season that had Ariana Grande's cousin.
It's her brother.
I only watched the season that had Ariana Grande's brother.
That's what's great about that show. Frankie. He doesn't want anyone to find that out, because then he'll get voted out.
I think I could definitely wheel and deal with people.
You have to be able to create a web of lies, and I do that every day. Well, I could do it. I could win that show, and I could kill someone, so...
See, that's what I'm saying. Big Brother is your show.
Worst comes to worst, you have a plan.
What if that's my strategy? Like, I just start drugging all of them slowly, so they become weak and
feeble. Dude, that would be crazy.
Win every challenge, get immunity every week.
Imagine if there was some, like, reality show where you had to be, like, the last person wherever, but, like, where you went to, like, where the show took place was just a lawless land. Nothing.
I mean, it's basically Survivor.
It's like the goddamn Hunger Games, basically.
There are no rules in Survivor.
This week's challenge, Russian roulette.
There's no rules in Survivor?
I don't think so.
Yeah, there is.
You're literally in the middle of the woods.
Like, you can fuck with people and, like, make spears and stab
people.
There are people
on the island. Like, the cast is... not the only people on the island. Like, there's crew on the island. There has to be.
Just kidding. I do not want to be a part of Survivor. I've seen Wrong Turn 2. I know what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't be able to do either of these reality shows.
You wouldn't be able to survive?
I could do Chopped.
No, you couldn't.
I feel like I'd enjoy doing Chopped. Okay, Mr. If I'm going to be on any reality show, it's going to be Hell's Kitchen.
Like, I'm not saying I would win Hell's Kitchen. I don't think I could win Hell's Kitchen. I would just want to be on it.
You'd get called a donut from Gordon Ramsay, and then you would be off
It'd
the show.
It'd be an honor.
Be an called honor. A donut?
If he, like, I was watching one episode. This girl, like, gives the signature dish challenge, is how they start every season. And he takes a bite of it, and he was like, well, this dish is a perfect representation of you. Bland and boring. Get the fuck out of my face. line. And he just said this really mean thing to her.
My two favorite televised Gordon Ramsay moments is this one woman went,
is it the
wasn't
Indian
Hell's
sandwich?
Kitchen. No, I do really like that moment, though. There was a moment where this woman just makes him some mac and cheese, and she's like, here, try this. It has a special ingredient in it. And then he takes a bite, puts it in his mouth, and he's like, what's the special ingredient? She's like, breast milk. And he just fucking launches that across the room. And then there's the moment where this woman makes him a dish, and he's like, I really want to congratulate you today. And she's just like, oh, yeah, it's awesome. And he's just like, for making the worst dish this show has ever seen. Or something like that. It's incredible. He's the man. I love Gordon.
At the end of almost every elimination in Hell's Kitchen, he's like, that was a disgrace. Now piss off. And like tells them all to leave.
Okay, for real, I think the show that I would be the best at is Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah. Why? I would rake at that.
I think if Chris could be on any show, it would be Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
I would love that. Are you kidding me? That would be the ideal scenario. I've legitimately thought about starting a YouTube channel for the local Bangor area where I do shit like that.
You should.
I've legitimately thought about doing that. Just be like, I'd just like step out of my 2007 Toyota Corolla with like the rust all across the rocker pan and be like, all right, guys, today we're going to go into Blaze where they make a fantastic meatball sub. I'm looking really forward to this. This is Blaze. And then the camera just pans up to the fucking title.
If you want to do that, I'll film every second of that.
I would gladly do that. I would gladly do that. The only thing is that I'd have to talk to the people beforehand and be like, listen, I'm an up-and-coming, huge YouTube star. Let me get in your kitchen for 5 minutes. I'm sure it'll be worth your while.
This is McDonald's on Broadway.
When I'm in town, which is every day because I live here, this is my most frequently visited stop. This is Dunkin' Donuts.
Welcome to McDonald's on Broadway. There's 6 of these local restaurants in this one city that only has 30,000 people. 6 different McDonald's you can go to.
Yeah, you can go to the Dunkin' Donuts. You order your coffee. You're like, okay, I order a nice caramel coffee. Ah, yes. Get it wrong every time.
just get in there and like act as if I'm talking to the chef. And it's like, his name is Kyle. He was hired 3 months ago. And I'll tell you what, he makes one of the most banging iced coffees I've ever had.
Take a sip. This is shit. And just pour it out.
No wonder you were hired 3 months ago, Kyle, you fucking idiot.
He is the best donut glazer in the Bangor area.
This is Brett Soucy.
Can't go there. Nope.
That's a really specific name, Chris.
He's the owner of Frank's.
He's the owner of Frank's. He's really good. He's really good.
I want a Frank's donut.
That's one stipulation. I can't go there.
I don't understand why.
Because
I walked out on the job.
So? Doesn't mean you can't buy products. It's not like he's going to kick you out if you go in.
Yeah, of course he's willing to take my money. It's more of like, I'm not going to give them my money. Or the publicity of the up-and-coming YouTube star, Dennis Chris Duplessis.
Oh, man. I'm just saying, I want this.
What would you call your YouTube channel?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Call it Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, but just rearrange the words.
Drives, Diners.
Diners, and Drive-Ins.
We actually have a drive-in in the area, so like that's the one thing. He never goes to drive-ins. He needs to.
We also don't have that. I mean, we could travel the state, I guess.
Heck yeah, we could. I could become like the go-to for Maine eateries.
Should start a food blog.
Yeah, I'm not that good at writing, though. Oh, Chris, there's a video blog.
There's a completely renovated food truck available to be bought for $55,000 in Searsport.
I'm not aware of that specific one, but trust me, I've wanted to open a food truck for so long.
Chris, here's your show. You go to a restaurant, you order everything off, you order just everything that they have in stock, and you call the show Eat You Out.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Oh, gosh.
I think part of your character on the show, Chris, should be that you have ridiculously high food standards for where it is that we live.
This is nothing like the best restaurant in New York. This is nothing like them. I don't know how you guys are still in business.
Every restaurant, how many Michelin stars they have? None. That's disappointing.
Every single show you start off, you sit down, the waiter comes over and they say, "Sir, what can I get you?" And you say, "I'm here to eat you out."
That's the intro. He's like, you know, guy says, "Welcome to Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives." I'll start off by saying, "My name is Chris, and I'm coming to you to eat you out."
My name's Chris. Song. My name's Chris, and I'm here to eat you out.
This is incredible. I might steal that idea.
So I definitely don't think that's what you should do.
That's funny.
As your attorney, I advise you not to walk into restaurants and say that.
It's so funny.
I'll give you that one. It's hilarious, but I don't think that you should do it.
I'm not gonna do that, but starting the YouTube channel.
Could you imagine saying it to like Chris? Oh my god, we should have. You should have said this like 2 weeks ago. We could have filmed your last China Light ever.
R.I.P. China Light. All my favorite Chinese restaurants in Bangor closed down eventually.
Number
Asian
one
Palace
things.
Closed down. That's sad. Anyways.
Oh, Zach, what have you been watching this week?
Well, it's been one long year, but I finally finished Dexter.
All of it?
I've seen there's a season 9 coming later this year, so that's why I decided to watch the last 2 seasons. I'd kind of given up. And I could have just stayed given up because the last 2 seasons aren't very good.
Ooh, that's disappointing.
And you watch the entirety of the last 2 seasons? Like, I feel like that's rough.
I don't know what happens. I read the Wikipedia plot synopsis, but they just weren't enough.
Wasn't enough.
I guess there's some controversy around the ending of the show. People didn't like it. And I can see that. But I think, ultimately, it makes the most sense. The entire show is Dexter trying to live a normal life, but because of who he is, he can't. It would make no sense for in the final season for him to get to live a normal life.
Doesn't he get caught stupid. Or something? Is that the point? Isn't he get caught?
That, I think, is my biggest issue, is that the last season isn't even about, like, someone that is on him and, like, is going to reveal who he is. He's trying to run away with like someone who has escaped from prison. Like, that's why he's like so secretive, and because the person he's with is a wanted fugitive.
What? That's so lame.
But he faces his own death, and then he moves to the woods.
Okay.
To what live by himself. And he abandons his son.
That's kind of a wet noodle ending.
But it makes the most sense.
Do you know anything about the 9th season? What they plan, or not the 9th season, but the new season, do you know what they plan to do?
No. I was not consulted.
Is it? I just wasn't sure if you had read anything, seen any news. I don't even know if there is news to read.
I've just heard that it's going to be this year. sometime.
Hmm.
For what one, would you say is, I think it's one final season.
What would you say is the best season?
Season 4.
And how many? There are 5?
There are 8.
There are 8 seasons. Shit. So the 4th is the best one? What's that one about?
That would be John Lithgow.
Okay, I've heard a lot of people say that.
That one's very good.
It's like his rival, right?
Kind of. It's a serial killer who kills like every, what is it? I think it's like every 10 years or something. He goes through a cycle of 3. And then Dexter kind of like befriends him to see how he can keep a normal life and still kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And then he becomes like his arch nemesis.
Hmm. I've always had a curiosity in Dexter, but I just never really wanted to make the commitment.
It's a big one.
I think I have seen the pilot, but that might have been as far as I got.
I mean, the first few seasons are pretty good, but once you get into like the 5th one, it's just not that good. It goes downhill real fast.
Hmm. Chris?
Murder's overrated.
What did you watch?
Oh, what did I watch? Shoot, what did I watch? I watched something else this week, too. I watched a lot of Pokemon. Not the show. Like my video game.
Who did you choose as your starter?
The grass type.
Yeah, me too.
I always go grass. Unless it's, Always, unless Totodile's an option. In which case, I go Totodile. Which, that was
grass is almost always the worst.
I don't know what you're talking about. People always say
Chikorita? Chikorita sucks.
Chikorita's badass.
Grass is like, isn't that it's the easiest to progress, but then it becomes weaker as the game goes on?
I don't know.
I think it evolves. I think it's what it is. It evolves the quickest, but then it's like sort of a disadvantage by the end of the game.
I mean, I do have an attention span of like 2 minutes, so it kind of works.
It's true.
I just enjoy it. I don't know. I just like grass types. I like that grass, if you know what I mean.
There hasn't been a good grass type since Bulbasaur. That's a fact.
I can't. I have a hard time believing that. I will say this, because on very rare occasions, I will choose a water type, but I never go fire.
I'm always a fire guy.
Why? Well, who'd you choose?
I chose the grass type because the fire one sucks.
That bunny one?
And I almost never go water.
Okay, I'm looking at these starter Pokemon, and there's quite a few good grass types here.
Name 5.
Bulbasaur.
Yep, I'll give you that one.
Chikorita's badass. I don't care what anybody says.
No, the evolutions are terrible.
Treecko?
Mm-hmm. Don't know who that is.
Over what's Mudkip? Mudkip's bullshit. Turtwig. I never played that one.
Oh, you mean the one where he... Does Turtwig evolve into Sceptile?
Turtwig?
No, Treecko. Is his final transformation to Sceptile?
Mega Sceptile. But yeah, Sceptile. Yeah.
Okay, well that's kind of cheating, because Sceptile has a mega evolution, which
I mean they all do though, like all the starters do. Like Blaziken has one, Swampert has one.
What's a mega evolution?
It's like when you basically take its final evolution and you just turn it into like an unstoppable beast.
Listen to this guy, he's so behind.
Yeah, but Grookey, I like Grookey. It's middle evolution is kind of bull, but it's third evolution? Awesome.
I'm just waiting to catch something else and evolve that to become mine.
I need to trade with you. I need to trade with you, bad.
Yeah, there's almost like no good grass. Yeah, Chikorita's ones are definitely pretty lame. What's the little gecko looking one?
That's Trico.
Yeah, his final ones are not that great. I typically almost always go fire. I think I go
great,
fire.
There's all kinds of great fire starters.
Yeah, there's great fire. Fire is good because then you can normally find good water type out in the world.
Charmander is a good fire starter. Cyndaquil is a good fire starter.
Yeah, because his final evolution is pretty cool.
I have a hard time finding fire types out in the wild.
Yeah, that's why you got to start with it.
Yeah, but I'm not interested in fire types.
I usually, midway through the game, switch to Psychic and Rock, so. I'm a chop all the way.
I found myself going, like, kind of just down the spectrum. Like, in my starting six right now, I have a Fighting type, a Rock type, a Psychic, a Grass type, obviously. A water type, and then a flying type. Actually, no, I just got rid of my flying type for a thunder type.
You'd be terrible at Pokemon the TCG.
Hmm?
I said you'd be terrible at Pokemon the TCG.
With CG?
The trading card game.
Oh, yeah, no, I do not play the trading card game.
What's Psychic good against?
Everything.
Yeah. I mean, like, ground Pokemon, I think they're called, can't touch them. Can't touch them a lot of the time because if they're floating. Which I have, what's his name? Hauntor?
I just know Alakazam. Or, ooh, yeah, ghost type Pokemon's pretty good to have.
Ghost Pokemon's, that's what I'm talking about, not psychics, my bad.
Because what's his, Gengar?
Mm-hmm.
That guy's good. I think my winning squad was like Charizard, Dewgong, Graveler, Gengar, and there might have been Alakazam in there.
I have Haunter.
3DS.
And maybe one more. I don't remember.
3DS opens up my entire world for more Pokemon adventures.
Yeah, then you can buy them all through the store, right? So you can get, like, gold or silver, and then you can get red, blue, yellow, plus all the other.
I don't know if that works on the Switch. I don't think it does.
Maybe not on the Switch, but I know on the Nintendo 3DS for sure. Because that's how I played.
Yeah, look now.
Because I played Pokemon Gold, and I could not for the longest time catch Ho-Ho.
E-shop.
I need to trade you my girder so I can transform him or evolve him into a Conkeldurr.
Yeah, I don't know if I want that.
Well, I'm not asking you to take it. I just want to trade it to you so then you can trade it back to me so I can have an evolved version.
Oh, so not only do I have to trade it, you have to trade it to me, I have to trade it back to you. What if I don't trade it back to you?
I'll give you.
Oh, is that how the trade works? Is that how the evolution works? It has to be traded?
Sometimes, like, you can trade a lot. You can, some of them you have to, like, trade in order to get the evolution version of it, but a lot of them, you can just train them until they evolve, but, like.
Just find a fucking evolution stone, bud.
I just want to trade my, it's just easier if Zach trades with me. It's so much easier that way. I just need you to do this.
Do you think that's how life works, that you just get to do things the easy way?
Zach, I need you to do this for me. I never ask you for much. I want this.
No, I don't know about that.
I want this.
You don't gotta fucking cry about it, right? I'll do it.
I will cry about it. He just looks so badass. Like, look at this guy.
Yeah, he's pretty lame.
That looks so dumb.
Whatever, dude.
I wouldn't put him on my team, but you know.
Who's on your team?
I like to win.
Who's your starting six?
I don't remember.
When was the last time you played?
Probably like a week ago.
And you don't remember anybody in your starting six?
I mean, Grookey is in my starting six. I can tell you that.
Grookey? Yeah.
I don't know. I'm at the stage of the game where I don't need to use anyone but the starter because I'm just that good.
Yeah.
I haven't gone to a gym or anything.
What level are you at?
He's at like 19.
19?
Yeah. Because I have this thing called a job and a life.
I'm way ahead of you. I'm way ahead of you. I'll just get me the Conkeldurr and I'll give you something from whatever. I'll give you something.
What a stupid name, Conkeldurr.
Oh my fucking gosh. You think that's bad? You should hear it's a.
I'm willing to bet $10 that he's pronouncing it wrong.
Well, maybe. But like it's what evolves into Conkeldurr is Girder.
Girder.
What evolves into Girder is Timber.
Girder.
I'm going down. I'm yelling Timber.
I'm going down. I'm yelling Girder.
Literally playing right now, and you can't tell me who your starting six is.
I'm not playing. I'm trying to access the eShop.
Yeah.
Well, while Zach does that, I'm just going to quickly tell you, Chris, that I watched 2012 as well. In the same day I watched The Day After Tomorrow.
That would make for, like, nightmares the entire night for me.
I kind of regret not seeing it in the theaters, honestly.
Did you see San Andreas in theaters?
No, but I did watch that this week, too.
Oh, my gosh, dude. You went on an end-of-the-world kick.
I did. I was working from home Monday and Tuesday, and we weren't really that busy, so I just was throwing on. Disaster movies are pretty good work movies because, you know, you really need to have paid attention to sort of get the plot. You get to
learn from all their structural engineering flaws.
Yeah, basically. So it's kind of research based. But Monday I had, I watched Disaster. So I watched The Day After Tomorrow and I watched 2012. And then Tuesday, yesterday, was a Dwayne The Rock Johnson marathon.
That's a good marathon.
So it was San Andreas, Skyscraper, and Rampage.
Okay.
All sound terrible.
New age Dwayne the Rock Johnson movies. Because I feel like if you're going to do a true Dwayne the Rock Johnson marathon, you have to start off with like Gridiron Gang, work your way to the Tooth Fairy, then get to Walking Tall.
I don't know why you wouldn't watch Walking Tall.
No, I just thought we got it Walking Tall in there. And then one of the Fast and the Furious movies, or what's it called? Calvin and Hobbes. Not Calvin and Hobbes. Hobbs Although I would watch Hobbs and Shaw, I would watch Dwayne the Rock Johnson and Calvin and Hobbs, though.
Dwayne the Rock Johnson plays Calvin. That'd be pretty good.
Yeah, it would.
Friday, I'm also working from home, so that might be a Jumanji double feature.
I like the first one.
I haven't seen another one. Dude, all these movies I'm watching, they're literally shit I bought. Like on sale. Like San Andreas bought it as Black Friday sale. Rampage, Black Friday sale.
Are you waiting to watch the Twilight series for our review of the Twilight series?
Yeah, dude. I'm not going to waste them now.
Mm-mm.
Plus, I don't want to just watch those while I'm working. I want to pay attention, digest them, take them in.
There's a lot of intensity there that you really got to. There's a lot of smoldering that you really need to let pierce your soul.
Speaking of Twilight, though, I did watch the episode of Parks and Rec yesterday where, what the hell is his name? Is it Will Forte? Yeah, Will Forte is the Twilight fan. And he chains himself to Leslie's office until they pull a Twilight in the time capsule.
Yeah, I like that episode of Parks and Rec.
When he's talking to Tom, he's like, I could tell you someone who knows a little bit about heartbreak. Stephanie Meyer, author of Twilight.
I've been meaning to rewatch that show lately.
Yeah, it's sort of been my new kick. We kind of transitioned away from The Office for a little bit, and we've been watching a lot of Parks and Rec.
You don't want to ruin it. Wait, do you have Peacock now? Is that what? Yeah. Or do you own it? Yeah.
Peacock.
Did you get it strictly for The Office?
Yeah. And Parks and Rec. I have way too many streaming services now, dude. They sort of show up on my credit card balance, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I got that one, too.
You have Peacock, and you're not watching the John Wayne Gacy documentary?
I have Peacock, and I'm not watching the John Wayne Gacy documentary.
You're fucked, bud.
I don't even know what that is.
He's the clown, right?
Yeah. It's the only reason I was thinking about trying up for a trial. And I also know that Rob Zombie is supposed to be directing episodes of The Monsters for Peacock. So I might just wait for a free trial and just hang all that out 1 week.
Nice. I mean, you're more than welcome to just have my password. I don't care. I don't really use it. Well, actually, yeah, I use it all the time. But just to watch The Office and Parks and Rec.
I own The Office. I don't need to watch it on Peacock.
Okay, well, you can watch the John Wayne Gacy documentary. You can watch the William H. Macy documentary.
Sounds way less interesting.
You can watch the Macy's Day Parade documentary.
I'll watch the Macy Gray documentary.
You can watch the John Wayne William H. Macy Gray documentary.
Oh, man. These all sound like some pretty good documentaries. I actually would watch a Macy's Day Parade documentary, though.
I would watch a Macy Gray documentary. And it's nothing but just talking about her hit single, Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls.
Dynamite.
Zach, did you watch anything this week? Anything else this week?
I can mention one more thing.
Go for it.
No, you want to talk about classic films. I have one for you. This would be a film from 1988, directed by Fred Olen Ray. Who doesn't love Fred Olen Ray? Starring Gunnar Hansen. This would be Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers.
Nice.
And Chris, before you shrug your shoulders and start all the stupid fucking shit that you watch, dude.
What's up with you in like dumb horror movies? Like, I don't understand. What's up with you in horror?
The plot summary.
Alright.
When private detective Jack Chandler tries to track down a teenage runaway, he runs into a cult of Egyptian chainsaw worshipping prostitutes led by the master.
Wow.
Egyptian? That's very, they're not only are they just hooker chainsaws, but they're Egyptian.
I know what you're thinking, like
The Mummy, that's what I'm thinking.
There's no way in this movie about chainsaw hookers that there's gonna be weird cult sacrifices. You'd be wrong. There it is.
This sounds like a great time.
What's the runtime on that bad boy?
An hour and 15 minutes.
Nice.
Pretty good.
Is this a YouTube watch?
Yes, on YouTube. Yeah, you can watch the whole thing right now, Chris.
Nice.
Man, it sounds like a great time. If there's anything I love, it's Egyptian hookers.
The hookers aren't Egyptian, just the chainsaws.
Just the chainsaws. My bad.
God, you're so dumb.
Yeah, I'm not in on that.
But there's some good stuff in here.
There's got to be good chainsaw kills, no?
Some good ones.
Nothing worth mentioning, though? Give us a little taste.
There's some pretty bad dialogue in it. Some of that's more memorable than chainsaw stuff. So there's one scene where he's like completely nude and just being sprayed with blood from this guy that he's killing. That's nice. Pretty good.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
It's a pretty good cut action. Some good practical effects. I know you love practical effects.
You got anything else, Chris?
No, I got nothing.
Like you mentioned quickly, I don't want to give much away because Zach sounds interested, but I did watch the new documentary series that just aired yesterday on Hulu, Sasquatch.
And, the Sasquatch True Crime Show.
And for in case you don't know what it's about, Chris, do you know what it's about, Chris?
I have no clue.
So it's about this investigative journalist by the name of, I think it's David Holthouse. He's made a career off of kind of just going to insane like places, like getting himself involved with different types of people and just writing about it. So, you know, for example, he joined a white supremacy group. He got involved in the underground Denver heroin ring. So like shit like that. But back in the 90s, he was working at a pot farm in Northern California near Humboldt County. If you don't know anything about Humboldt County, it's like has like the most unsolved murders anywhere in the United States. But anyway, so he takes a job there on this weed farm high up in the mountains, and one night he's hanging out. I should say when he gets to the pot farm, he starts hearing all these stories. People are telling him, like, you know, you need to be on high alert, you know, watch yourself at night. We've had aggressive Sasquatch in the area. They've been, you know, they've been throwing rocks at people. They've been doing this, they've been doing that. And so when he first hears this, he just thinks that it's just some sort of hazing of the new guy. He doesn't really buy into it. But then one night he's hanging out at the grower's cabin, and they're all smoking, they're all doing various types of drugs. And suddenly these two guys barge in to the cabin and like demand to talk to this lead grower. And so this guy, David Holthouse, he's like trying to eavesdrop, but, you know, also just trying to enjoy his high. And he overhears one of the guys who's completely panicked. He overhears him say that they found three mutilated bodies and that a Sasquatch had killed them. Oof. And so years later, this guy now sort of has an interest in this cold case. He basically just wants to research, like, what, if anything, about that night is true? You know, were there actually three men that were murdered? If they were, who actually killed them? Was it a Sasquatch? So it sort of takes him on this crazy journey over three episodes where he digs into the story. And the more he kind of uncovers some stuff he doesn't think he would uncover, and it's kind of interesting. The ending is, I mean, there's only so many places where a thing like this could go.
Either is a Sasquatch or it isn't.
Exactly. It's either not a Sasquatch or it is a Sasquatch. And so, you know, all that aside, I just think the journey itself, like kind of how it starts, how it weaves, it's like way through the different people that he meets along the way, and just the information that he learns. Like, I don't know, I was pretty hooked. Zach Bobo from Finding Bigfoot is in it from the first episode.
Of course he is. Can you imagine, like, Chris, you get you start your job at the hotel. They tell you that you work till 11. They say, Chris, at night when you're walking out to your car, be careful. There's some Sasquatches out there that throw rocks at people.
Love that type of shit. I used to watch a couple episodes of Finding Sasquatch or whatever the show was. It was on TV every once in a while. And I remember the one episode where they went out in the woods and they saw some beds, some random like mattresses out there. And they were just like, this is a Sasquatch kind of nesting area. Because, you know, Sasquatches, they don't like to sleep on the ground. They want something a little more comfortable, so these mattresses are perfect.
If I was a Sasquatch, that's exactly what I would do, is throw rocks at people. It's like, That's such a stupid thing to do. Like, who's gonna believe you? Like, you get hit by a rock and there's just this big Sasquatch standing there, and it's like, go ahead and tell them. They're not gonna believe you. Now you've just been the rock has just been thrown at you by a Sasquatch. You just have to live with that for the rest of your life.
You have to live with the fact that a Sasquatch taunted you.
And that no one believes you. And that's just gonna how believe you live you. The rest of your life.
You're walking out to your car and you see a rock hit the ground in front of you. You don't think much of it. You see a rock hit the ground in front of you again, and you're kind of like, what's going on over there? And then a rock smacks you in the side of the head, and all of a sudden you hear,
But yeah, Sasquatch, it's a pretty good watch. I think each episode is only like 45 minutes, so it's like, so I don't know, what,
they just released it as like 1 2-hour movie.
Yeah, it's so like 2.5 episodes, or sorry, 2.5 hours, like whatever it works out to. I don't know. Series is the thing, not movies.
Movies are dead.
As we speak on a movie podcast.
It's about to become TV and loathing.
I started watching NOS 482. I watched the first episode. Not crazy about it so far, but
yeah, I've heard the book's quite good though.
I finished it. That's why I started watching the show.
Did you want to read the book before you watched the show?
I got halfway through the book when I realized that there was a show. Oh, maybe I should watch that.
I know very little about either one.
It took me forever to figure out what it meant. I was like, NOS 42. That's such a stupid like title for the book. And I was like, Nosferatu. Okay. It's all coming together.
But yeah, that's all I got.
What have you guys been reading this week?
I just told you I finished Nosferatu.
Nice.
I started this. Chaos, Charles Manson, CIA, and the Secret History of the 60s.
Oh, you got it. You've been wanting that for a while, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had it for a while, and I just haven't read it.
I see. What about you, Jake? What have you been reading?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nope.
Is this your way of
us? Oh, Chris, what have you been reading? Oh, yeah,
you, guys, you've been reading because you actually read something?
I did read some stuff this week, thank you.
Is it going to end there?
Do you want to ask you what you read?
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'll tell you guys if you're really curious.
Me? You want to know what I read?
I read the narrative of Frederick Douglass.
I understand how you own a book by a man named Iceberg Slim. And you're reading the book about Frederick Douglass.
And I'm starting Blood Diamond.
I can't believe these are the things you wanted to brag about.
This is a step up from Hatchet, all right?
Is there an audiobook to the life of Iceberg Slim? Does Iceberg Slim read it?
That is a very good question, because I would just throw the book away and buy the audio tape.
Is there an audiobook of the Fredless Douglas thing, and does Frederick Douglass narrate it?
Yes.
Didn't the guy have a crazy haircut?
Crazy cool haircut. Like the 1800s. He's a boss. You've seen his haircut and his beard all in one. It's fantastic.
He's kind of like a black Karl Marx, doesn't he?
This guy's got some great hair.
Okay, all I'm saying is that Frederick Douglass is cooler, and if they had to get into a fight, Frederick Douglass would win.
Against who? Who's he fighting?
Karl Marx, dude. Who you just compared him to.
I just said, doesn't he kind of look like that?
The haircut's similar. You kind of see that. Their skin tones might be a little different, but...
I believe that to be true, yeah.
But their hair looks kind of similar. Frederick Douglass has like the slightly gray hair in his like popular photo. So he looks like he knows what he's doing and can still do it too.
I got you.
What is Blood Diamond?
It's about the diamond trade near
Sierra. Are you reading the novelization of the Leonardo DiCaprio movie?
Yeah, I'm reading the screenplay, but my professor doesn't know that.
Anything else you guys need to mention here? Any other things you watched?
That's it.
Next week we're doing Mortal Kombat, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I think that comes out Friday.
Can you like start the song to the Mortal Kombat song right here, so it can just play towards the end of our episode?
Chris, if you want to edit the episode, you can do whatever you want.
Well, I'm asking you to do it.
I'm not going to do that, no.
But Zach, you're so good at editing. Like, you're the best
editor.
Like, you're incredible at it. So
I know. There's a lot of copy and pasting for someone who can really open a PDF. That might be... You are a hacker. You should be able to handle editing this.
I can hack into the NSA mainframe, but there's no way I can edit your audio files, okay? That takes artistic quality.
In 20 words or less, what is a mainframe?
See, there's a frame. There's a couple of them. But this one's the main one. See? No, not if you understand. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Almost there, and got him.
Don't forget to knuckle crack, Chris.
Oh, that's right. And I always got to have, like, a lollipop in my mouth or, like, a beer that I'm slowly sipping on the entire time.
Dude, hackers drink slushies. Come on.
Oh, that's right. No. I have a 2-liter of Mountain Dew Code Red to my right.
I was going to say that. I'm pretty sure like, they drink Mountain Dew Voltage.
Yeah. I miss Code Red. I got to get a bottle of that soon.
You should get a whole 2-liter.
I could. If I get a 2-liter, though, I'm in for a night. Because that means that, you know, a lot of mainframes are being hacked into via the backdoor Trojan horse portal.
I understand classic all portal. Of that.
Mm-hmm. Thought you guys... It's very technical stuff. I wouldn't expect you to understand. You
know, they say that you don't really know something unless you can perfectly explain it. And Chris, you perfectly explained it.
I know. But you guys, you know, in one of these days, you might be able to do what I do, dark web stuff. That's fine, but.
Silk Road, things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I've always wanted to be a dark web guy.
I'm good.
Chris, what is your hacker name, I guess?
I don't know. Do they have hacker names?
Yeah.
Tony Bonanza.
Is it Tony Danza?
Tony Bonanza.
Tony Bonanza?
James Vanderbeek?
Oh, James Vanderbeek. Better watch out, Jake, before James Vanderbeek takes your girlfriend.
I know, I gotta go check on her. Fiance
now, I guess.
I gotta go check on her, make sure she's not looking
at just. All I was saying, no, she doesn't wake up in the morning. Expecting to leave you. So James Vanderbeek is knocking. She may not have a choice.
It's true.
That's not going to happen every day.
Heart wants.
I got to make sure she's not looking at James Vander's beak on the iPad.
That closet she won't let you in? Yeah, that's a shrine, bud. You might want to go check that out.
Vanderbeek memorabilia?
Yeah. She's got some weird stuff in there. James Vanderbeek sock from like Dawson Creek, season 3, episode 4.
Like, Rachel, what are you doing with this printed out photo of Scott Bakula and James Vanderbeek? All right, well, as always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. Join us next week. We're talking Mortal Kombat. Zach can't wait.
Can't wait.
I can't wait either. Zach's going to be pretty good. Any bets? Who wins? Who wins in the fight?
Scorpion, obviously.
I don't know, dude. Sub-Zero's pretty badass.
I'm going to say Sub-Zero because it's the only person I know. But I'm so excited.
Yeah, with like eight arms.
I'm going to go with King Kong.
Perfect. Keep staying safe out there. As always, bye-bye.